Welcome to the fourth day of the Panchanga Bhakti Seminar. Today we will try to make a more personal relationship with the deities, and therefore we've moved to the temple today. So, because we will be praying to the deities our own personal prayers, face to face with the deities. And today's class, we won't be sharing that much. It will be a very personal class. I'll tell you when we will share, but most of it will just be between yourself and the deities. Trying to learn how to have a more personal relationship and to pray personal prayers. Nectar of devotion, it is described that there are two types of prayers that can be offered, two ways that prayers can be offered, and that is, one way is to recite prayers that are already written, notable prayers. Prayers already, like Lord Brahma, Brahma Samhita, like Arjuna's prayers in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many prayers. That is one way. And another way is to make our own personal prayers. So today we will be concentrating not on deity worship, the practical or technical aspects of deity worship, but more on our personal relationship with the deities when we come to see the deities every day. So I mentioned this in one class that I gave here in Srimad Bhagavatam. So for some of you, it will be not something new. But I'd like to also mention it today at the beginning of this class, because it's a very wonderful thing to understand in your relationship with the deities. And that was when Janadivas Prabhu was asked the question by somebody who was visiting Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. They asked Janadivas Prabhu, "What are the deities made of?" So Janadivas Prabhu answered, "What is your heart made of?" That is what the deities are made of. If you see stone, your heart is made of stone. If you see brass, your heart is made of brass. If you see Krishna, then your heart is made of Krishna. When you see the deities, you feel love and you feel how the deities are actually there, then that is seeing Krishna, that is seeing the deities. So I would like to ask you all a question. You can just think about it for a minute. Well, first of all, look at the deities. Look at whichever your favorite ones. And I want you to tell me which part of the deities you're most attracted to. That is the question. Who would like to tell me which part you like the most? Yes?
Feet?
Yes?
Garnita's
eyes. Most compassionate. Yes?
Krishna's eyes.
Krishna's eyes, okay. None different from Lord Chaitanya. Yes?
Jagannath.
Who's Jagannath? He's got big eyes. Now you can't miss them. Yeah, so, yes? Anybody? Yes?
Jagannath's
smile. Okay? Smile. Okay, we've got two for Jagannath's smile. Anybody else have something different that you're
like? Radharani's
face. Radharani's face. Okay, she's very good. You too?
No.
Who?
Krishna's shoulder. Little Krishna's shoulder.
Little Krishna's shoulder. Did anybody ever notice little Krishna's shoulder? We should notice little Krishna's shoulder. Okay? So, yes. Anybody have something different that they're attracted to? Yes?
Beautiful dress.
The dress, okay. The beautiful dress.
Krishna's dress.
How Krishna's standing. Mm-hmm. He's dancing, actually. He's not just standing. Yes? Okay. So we have... anybody else have a favorite part of Krishna? Yes?
The hands of Gaurangatai, like
how... Oh, okay. The hands of Gaurangatai like this. That's your favorite? Who?
Krishna's feet.
Okay. So there's so much that we can be attracted to. just by looking at the deities. Now my next question is, does anybody know a verse that describes the beauty of Krishna? Yeah? Tell me. What? Okay, you think of it. Anybody else have a verse that describes the beauty of Krishna? Yes? Anybody else have a prayer that describes the beauty of Krishna? Yes? Venum karantam arvindadalaya taksham. Beautiful eyes, he's playing the flute. Head bedecked with peacock feather and beautiful form. Any other verses describe beauty of Krishna? Alola Chandaka. We could say the whole Brahma Samhita, actually. Yes, the whole Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam. I just was speaking on Queen Kunti's prayers. Namaha Pankachana Maya, Namaha Pankachana Maline, Namaha Pankachana Netraya, Namaste Pankajangriya. So different beautiful parts of Krishna are just like a lotus flower. So beautiful. So I would like to concentrate today, at this point, on Krishna's glance. Krishna's glance. Somebody did mention Krishna's eyes, Lord Chaitanya's eyes. So they're not just eyes, they're glancing. They're glancing. Now what is in the glance of Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya or Jagannath, as you like? Mercy. What else? Love. What about the other incarnations?
Creation.
Creation, yes. Just by his glass, the creation happens. There we are back. All his limbs are interchangeable. He can eat with his eyes. He can hear with his hands. And that is spiritual senses. Even the pure devotees, their senses are interchangeable in the spiritual world. Okay, any other, what else is in his glass? We've got creation, we've got love, we've got mercy. Okay, make a space so people can come in and out. Can move over this side forward. Yeah. So what else is in the glass of Krishna?
Sudarshan.
The time factor. Watch out. Okay, so not only is there creation, there is destruction. When Krishna was standing with Arjuna between the armies, the battle of Kurukshetra, it is Bhishma, David described, that by his glance, he shortened the lives of the people on the other side. So not only is there creation, he can create or he can destroy with his glance. He can shorten your duration of life. Okay, there's one thing left. Creation, destruction, and maintenance, right. It's described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that if he stopped glancing on this creation, the creation would be finished. So not only is his glance full of creation, his glance is full of maintenance. He's always looking at us. He's always looking. And that's how he maintains with his eyes, with his glance. So, now there's a very beautiful purport in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada commented on, and it's a beautiful verse too. It is 10:13:50. And in that verse, Lord Brahma has just realized he's made a big mistake by stealing the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna's friends. And he sees how Krishna has expanded himself as all the calves and cowherd boys. But then he sees how each one is a Vishnu form, and the Vishnu form is smiling at him and glancing at him. Now there's something very special in the smile and in the glance. So what's in that glance is when in the glance is just like the mode of passion, it's creation. So, but it's not like the material creation. When Krishna glances on you, then it's he creates desires for devotional service. So if you look at the deities and you get the glance of Krishna, watch out. You might get some more desires to do more service in case you don't have enough service. You will get more service. Just like when you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you get more service. So also if you get the glance of Krishna, there is creation, there is the Lord of passion, not material passion, spiritual passion, which creates more desires for emotional service. And if you get the smile, some of you are attracted by the smile. So what does the smile do? The smile maintains your desires for devotional service. It protects your service attitude. So if you get the smile of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, then your service will be protected. You will always be engaged in service to Krishna. There is another verse in the third canto. I'll sing for you. This is by Kapiladev, and he's speaking to his mother, Devahuti. Pashyanti te me ruchiranyam basanta prasanna bhakta runada chanani rupani divyani varapradani sakam vachan svehariyam varanti. O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. So today you could see the sunrise. And it is, what color is the before the sun rises? Pinkish, reddish. So that's the color of Krishna's eyes. In the corners, sometimes you see in the corner of his eyes there's a little red there. It's like that, like the rising sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. Now, Prabhupada says, in the purport, the devotees express their minds before the deity. We're going to be practicing this today, expressing our minds before the deities. And, Prabhupada says, in many instances, the deity also gives answers. So some of you may also get answers after expressing your mind before the deities. So we shall see. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and devotee are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotee enjoys them. So then the next verse, Tardarshaniya Vayavaritara Vilasaha Sekshitabhava Suktai Vitamuna Hitta Pranascha Bhakti Anichata Megati Manvim Payankate. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord smiling and attractive and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Now here's the very important sense that Kapiladev says. In spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. So in the beginning of devotional service, and sometimes even at the end of devotional service through the years, you find sometimes an unwillingness to surrender on your part. But all you have to do is just look at the deities, and in spite of your unwillingness, you will become liberated. Sri Prabhupada explains, even the third class devotees are liberated when they look at the deities, imperceptibly. It's taking a little bit more time, perhaps, but you are being liberated. See, just by seeing the beautiful decoration of the Lord in the temple. So Sri Prabhupada says that even a third class devotee who's not advanced in knowledge simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings flowers and fruits, becomes imperceptibly liberated. So I would like to read a prayer here by Sachinandan Swami at one of our retreats. And it explains how you should offer prayers, because we're going to be offering a lot of prayers today. So I want you to get in the proper mood to offer prayers. So this is what Sachinandan Swami says. First, concentrate. Then, let flow and let go. With childlike innocence, you're in the presence of the Lord. Your heart must connect to your words. Let your heart follow your words. Let there be no separation. Make a prayer when something happens. Open your heart to the Lord and pour it out like water. Speak to the Lord like a friend or teacher. Learn the simple art of conversing with the Lord. While you're chanting, think of the person whose name you chant. Pray like you've come back from the dead. Has anybody here come back from the dead? I have, actually. I almost died. Step, and when you almost die, then you really pray much, very intensely. Step out of the context of this world and pray on the spiritual platform of the soul. When you pray, keep your eyes low and your heart high. Taking the position of a sweeper, we sweep our heart, hoping for mercy. Before you go to sleep, think of Radha and Krishna in the core of your heart and pray to them. And you will have a guiding light being bathed in the light of their toenails. And this is a practice that Maharaj does. Inhale, Ra. Exhale, Dha. Ra, Dha. So he does that before he goes to sleep. Ra, Dha. Ra, Dha. Single out the devotional voice from the multitude of voices in the heart. How to strengthen your devotional voice? Read Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Lord becomes active in the heart by hearing Bhagavatam. You will understand the constitutional nature, and your devotional voice will rise like a lion. Now imagine going through your mind in a glass boat. What will you see at the bottom of your heart when you go through your mind, at the bottom of your mind? But don't be deceived. Your devotional voice is there, perfect, only covered. If you see yourself in your pure spiritual form, it will be wonderful. So now we're going to do an exercise. Now, those of you who brought things to the deities may go and offer your things now. If you haven't already offered it, you may go and put it there by the altar to the deities. And then come back and sit down, and I'll tell you what the exercise is. And those of you who didn't bring something, you're going to have to offer more sweet words now to the deities. For sure. Yeah, there. So we have to do the six loving exchanges, not only with devotees, but with the deities too. With the deities, Prabhupada said we must also do the six loving exchanges with the deities. Offer food, accept prasadam. Reveal your mind, inquire confidentially, and hear the answers. So your first exercise is going to be this. If you have a pen, then you can write down a few words of appreciation and praise of the deities. And then think of a desire that is very deep in your heart that you would like to be fulfilled, and you can express that desire to the deities after offering prayers. Because when devotees offer prayers, even Lord Chaitanya, when he was offering prayers, he would praise the Lord. Usually his first Shikshastaka was all glory to the Sankirtan movement. And then he was giving his request that please engage me in your service. But the fourth verse, he also requested that you please pick me up from this ocean of birth and death. So you may write, or if you don't have a pen, just think, make a prayer in your mind of some words of appreciation. You can appreciate the dress that they're wearing today, or their beautiful face, or their lotus feet. Some words of appreciation, and that is written up here. Appreciation and heart's desire. That's our first exercise. So I'll give you a minute or two so you can think what you would like to say. And this is something you can do every day. If you don't have a desire, you can just offer some words of praise, appreciation. I really like your peacock feather today, and how you're holding your flute. Okay, when you're ready, stand up right where you are and face the deities, and you may say your words to the deities. Okay? Everybody can stand up now, even if you're ready or not. Face the deities and offer your prayers that you just composed. Can be mentally or verbally, as you like. When you're ready, you can offer obeisances. And when you offer obeisances, keep in mind that the mind will also offer. We are offering with our body, with our words, and with our mind. So the mind must also go down when we offer obeisances. The heart goes up and the mind goes down. So as soon as you finish your prayer, you may offer obeisances and return to your seats. When we're faced with a crisis, when we have a problem in our life, where do we go for shelter? In the material world, some people, they take shelter in food, they eat a lot, and that makes them feel like the problem is gone. They drown their sorrows in food, or they may drink, or they may take drugs, or they may go shopping. I read recently in Back to God, and it is said that now there's a problem with people who have an addiction to shopping. And unless they go shopping, they don't feel right in their life. And so this is going on. So as devotees, where do we go when we have a problem, when we're in trouble? Where is our shelter? Who can tell me? We come to the temple. Very good. Yes, somebody was telling me yesterday that one devotee was telling me that she just comes and tells the deities everything. She says, now you know what to do. You know best. So, yes, we come to the temple. We come to the deities. We may come to the books. We may open the book, find the answer, the solution to the problem. We may come to devotees. We may come to the temple. We may chant the holy name also. And that will also relieve us. So I will read one story. This is a famous book from Mayapur. Probably most of you have heard this. So I'll just read one of my favorite stories about I Want My Eyes Back. How many of you have heard this story? Okay, about half of you. So I'll read it. On a warm December morning last year, around 11 o'clock, as I sought the association of the magnificent Lord, this is Nrisimhadev, of course. She's talking about Nrisimhadev. This is Uba Nrisimha in Mayapur. This is Nrisimhadev in Mayapur, very powerful deity. I found myself in one of his temple leelas, much to my astonishment. After offering my obeisances to the captivating Prahlad, I prayed, my dear Prahlad, you are expert in receiving all kinds of blessings from Lord Nrisimhadev. Please ask your Lord to bless this poor soul with the destruction of everything that stands in the way of her devotional service. Then as I stood meditating on the Lord's beauty and mercy, I heard a very sweet, deep voice. I want my eyes back. At first I ignored it and kept my mind in the mode of prayer. But the voice spoke a second time. I want my eyes back. Attempting again to disregard this clear message raised a burning and almost a painful sensation in my heart. I was dumbfounded. What was I to do? Then the voice continued, go to the pujari. Okay, I thought, I have nothing to lose if the pujaris think I'm crazy. I will at most lose a bit of my false ego. Praying to the Lord to give me strength to carry out His order, I paid my obeisances and almost breathlessly headed for the Pujara rooms. There I found Janani Vas Prabhu reading Srimad Bhagavatam. The atmosphere in the room was extremely serene and otherworldly. I stood there for several minutes and waited for him to notice me. Then after I told him what happened, he asked me to go see his twin brother, Papajangri Prabhu, the actual Pujari of Lord Srinidev. Somehow, I felt I didn't have to do more at this point. The following day, as I again approached Lord Srinidev, my mind buzzed with doubt. What if that voice was just my mind, demanding the healing of my eyesight, which has been very poor and painful for the past 6 weeks? Thinking in this way, I prayed for an answer. The voice spoke to me again, this time with a more serious and firm tone. You will get your eyes back when I get mine. His form always emanates a soft light, and my heart felt peaceful and warm. I felt overwhelmed with unusual confidence, as if my head were touching the sky. The next morning at 2:20 a.m., I woke up fully refreshed and wide awake. It was unusually early for me, as I usually get up around 6 o'clock. A soft voice urged me to rise, bathe, and attend Mangalarti, which I did. After the ceremony was over, the same voice urged me to follow Pankajangri Prabhu from Lord Nishingane's altar into the Pujari room. I felt very embarrassed and had tears in my eyes. I also felt a kind of unwillingness in my heart to reveal my mind to him. As he was preparing the articles for the Lord's Abhishek, I started to talk to him. Pankajangri Prabhu listened attentively to my story. Then, without saying anything, he smiled and gave me maha sweets from Lord Nishimadev's plate. The following morning, when my daughter returned from the temple, she was shouting, "Mommy, they changed Nishimadev's eyes. He has beautiful red eyes now." And as the sweet, deep voice had promised, my eyesight was miraculously cured within 3 days. All glories to Lord Nishimadev. And there are many other stories in here about one devotee had chicken pox, and he was really suffering so much. He was a young man doing Bhakti Shastri, and it wasn't going away. So he went to Lord Srinidev. He went for Mahaprasad, and the chokidars, the guards, were ready to throw him out of the temple because it's very contagious. You shouldn't be in there with this disease. But anyway, he got his chance to pray to Lord Srinidev, and the next day it was completely gone. Although it takes at least 3 weeks, his disease was gone. So Lord Srinidev is very merciful. We also have our Gauranitai and Radha Balaba and Lord Jagannath, who are also very merciful. So our next exercise.
Yes, Nishinga.
You have Nishinga Shalagram. Mm. Which Nishinga? Lakshmi or?
Ishita.
Huh?
Shanta.
Oh, Shanta, very good. Shanta is very nice. Shanta Mishinga, or peaceful Mishinga. So this time, I would like you to write down a challenge that you have, a problem, some problem you have in your life, or in your devotional service, some obstacle you may be facing in your devotional service. And if you have no problems, you can think of somebody close to you who has a problem, and you can also write that. But most of us do have problems, even though we're devotees. Maybe just overeating or oversleeping, or not being able to get up from Mangalarti. Little problems. But perhaps you do have some problems. So just write it down or think of it. And there will be two steps to this exercise. The first step will be revealing the problem to the deities. And the second step I will tell you after you reveal your mind to the deities. The second step. This is an exercise that has been done by devotees in different places. Okay, so everybody can stand up, face the deities, and tell the deities what your problem is or your obstacle in your devotional life. In this class, you will not sleep. You will be. As soon as you've told your problem, then imagine that you're standing in the deity's position, and the deity is telling you the answer, what the answer will be. This is, you're not going to be Krishna. I don't think you are Krishna, but you're just imagining what the answer would be. If he were to tell you an answer, or Radharani, or Gaurinita, or Jagannath, what would that answer be to your problem? And as soon as you have finished, you may sit down again and offer obeisances and return to your seat. So these are different aspects of our relationship with Krishna. If you study the prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, they all start with praise. And then they have a request. Sometimes they have problems. The demigods will be praying. Demigods are always in trouble. And they are praying always to Krishna for help. And sometimes they don't say directly. Just like one time they were being attacked by one demon. And they just hinted that we need your help. They said, you know, you rescued all these people in the past. You saved this one, you saved that one. So they were kind of giving a hint that why don't you save us too? And now we're in trouble. So they weren't so direct. So another aspect of our relationship with Krishna was experience with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, after stealing Lord Krishna's cows and cowherd boys, he felt very embarrassed and ashamed and begged forgiveness from the Lord. And he was listing all the reasons why he should be forgiven. Lord Rama said, you know, after all, I'm the incarnation of the mode of passion. Sometimes I lose it. I get involved with passionate things because I'm the creator. So that's one reason why you should forgive me. It's my nature. I have this passionate nature. And then the second reason, he was saying, I'm very insignificant, I'm so small compared to you. Of course, at first, Brahma was thinking, Krishna is so small, and I'm so big, I'm the size of the whole universe, and he's just a little boy. I don't think he's God. But then after he realized, Krishna expanded himself as all the calves and cowherd boys, he said, actually, you are big, and I am small. I was mistaken. Then again, another reason Lord Brahma gave that he should be forgiven is that you are my father. I was born from your lotus navel, so you should forgive me. So the father does not take seriously the offenses of the child. And then Lord Brahma said a very interesting thing. Krishna, you are my mother. Do you know how Krishna is our mother? That's a very difficult question. But if you think of Krishna Lila, Mother Yashoda. Are you both speaking of mother and child? So the mother forgives the offenses of the child. Yes. So one time Krishna ate dirt. Of course, that's debatable if he ate dirt or not. Some say he did, some say he didn't. But the Vrijavasis tend to think that Krishna did it, considering his character. He probably did it. And that he was lying, actually, and not his friends. So he did eat the dirt. And then after that, Yashoda asked him to open your mouth, and she saw inside his mouth all the universes. Now the Acharyas say that she was seen in his mouth down to his belly, that actually all the universes are in his stomach, in his belly. And that's where the mother carries the child, in the womb. So because we are inside Krishna's belly, therefore he's our mother. He's also our mother, because the whole universe is within his belly. So therefore he's our mother, he's our father, and the mother doesn't take offense of the child. So first he praised Krishna, and then he stated his offense. You know, I have interrupted your loving pastimes. I've taken your friends away. And finally, Lord Brahma begged forgiveness. So Lord Brahma was experiencing a mood of repentance. I'm feeling very sorry. I made a mistake. I'm really sorry about that. So when we have this mood, when we feel sorry that we made a mistake to Krishna, this is a symptom that we are getting out of Maya. It is in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that when we are making advancement, then Maya, the external energy, subsides in terms of penance and repentance. And when we have this mood, then the same material energy will help us get out of this material world. So that purport is 1.3.34, in case you're interested. Now, if you take off this top one, and we'll see what's underneath there. The top. Yes. Now we're going to go to nectar devotion. There's three types of prayers, of which we're going to be doing one type of prayer. So the three types of prayers described in nectar devotion, the first is samprartanatmika, very feelingly offering prayers. That's the first one, right? Praise. And second one is what we're going to be doing, and that is danyavodhika, humbly submitting oneself. So in our next exercise, we're going to be humbly submitting ourselves. And the third one is lalasamayi, desiring some perfectional stage. That comes much later in your devotional service, when you actually realize what is your relationship with Krishna. So we are on the first and second levels of devotional service, so we're going to concentrate on the second level of humility, that is like Shastika 3. So I'll read a quote from Nectar of Devotion that explains about this. In Padma Purana, there is a statement about submission and humbleness. It is stated, "My dear Lord, there is no sinful living entity who is more of a sinner than myself, nor is there a greater offender than myself. I am so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I am ashamed." Prabhupada says, this is a natural position for a devotee. As far as the conditioned soul is concerned, there is no wonder he has some sinful activities in his past life, and this should be admitted and confessed before the Lord. And as soon as this is done, the Lord excuses the sincere devotee. So we're going to all admit and confess today our mistakes that we've ever made in our life to Lord Krishna. And this is a practice, a prayer, a type of prayer described in Nectar of Devotion. But it's not that, but Prabhupada also says, this does not mean you take advantage of the Lord's causes of mercy and expect to be excused over and over again. Sometimes people come and confess, and then the next week they go and do the same thing again, and they come and confess. Not with that. Only one time. And it's really interesting, when you do this exercise, then you don't usually do the same mistake again. Because it's like you're having that relationship with Krishna face to face, and you're telling him. So the exercise is this. Now, you don't need to write it down, but you try to remember from the beginning of your life all the mistakes or wrong things you ever did. Now, if it's too much, just do the most biggest ones. But I think most of you are pretty pious here, so you probably don't have a long list, or else you're very young. If you're older, then it might be longer. So then, I want you to tell the deity everything. Now, you can probably do this mentally. So just remember everything. And you can say, do you remember, Krishna, when I did that? And I also did that. And even I did that. And because sometimes we say, oh, I'm so fallen. But how fallen are you, really? So we're going to be specific to Krishna. You don't have, this is, we're not going to share this at all. This is between you and the deities. We don't want to hear everybody's confession here at this point. But it's just for you and Krishna. So this is private, confidential. And so now you just think. I'll give you a little time to think of what you would like to ask for forgiveness from Krishna. And when you do this, you feel a great relief in your heart. A great lightness. But this is a practice from Nectar of Devotion. everybody stand up and face the deities and reveal your mind and beg for forgiveness. When you're ready, you can offer obeisances and return to your seat. Now for our last exercise, we're going to be associating with a different kind of deity. And that is the deity of the mind. Anybody experienced a deity of the mind before? Okay, so it's first time for most of you. So I will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam to explain a little bit. This is 10:12:39. Sakriya Jananga Patimantarahita Manamai Pavata Chintadam 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 Chintadam. If even only once or even by force one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. So the Agasura demon, the snake demon, he saw Krishna's form, and then he got liberation, actually, because he was seeing Krishna face to face, even though his mood wasn't exactly the correct mood of seeing Krishna. He wanted to eat him. But we also can bring the form of Krishna into our mind. And there is another verse in the third canto which says that your devotees see you through the ears of the process of bona fide hearing. Their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are merciful to your devotees. You manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So our next exercise, we're going to combine chanting. So I hope you brought your japa malas. And if you didn't, you can just chant on your fingers. And we'll be also meditating on the form of the Lord. Now, we're going to try to meet Krishna, the form of Krishna, while we chant the holy name. And this is a level of advancement that we will come to one day, is that we will one day, simply by saying the name Krishna, the form will automatically come. But now we're going to practice a little bit about that, how to do that. Bhakta George Harrison, have you heard of George Harrison? Yes, so he wrote the foreword to Krishna book. And in this, I think foreword or preface, something, preface to Krishna book. In the preface to Krishna book, Bhakta George Harrison wrote that Krishna is God, the source of all that is. And everybody's looking for Krishna, and some realize they are, and some don't realize. But they are. He said, by serving God through each thought, word, and deed, and by chanting his holy names, the devotee quickly develops God consciousness. So he said, I request you that you make an appointment to meet your God now. Through the self-liberating process of yoga, union. So we are practicing bhakti yoga. And give peace a chance. So that, of course, those are the days of the peace movement. And many of us were members of that movement before we got the real peace. Yeah, and then we realized peace is not the goal of life. It is not, peace is not the goal, but love is the goal. Love of Krishna. And in that process of loving Krishna, sometimes you may have to sacrifice your peace. You may have to live with many devotees that you are not used to, and you have to tolerate. So now we're going to meet Krishna while we chant the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also explained how to meet Krishna in his Nadia Gajulai, Marketplace of the Holy Name. He says, Shadhavanna Jane, Shadhavanna Jane, Praura Kepai Magay Vika, Bala Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Kora Krishna Shika, Aparada Shanyahai, the Hokishna, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Tanapran. Same thing, Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, and he is your life. So Prabhupada also explained, we must chant the holy name like a child crying for its mother. Please accept me. Now I would like to read you one realization from one devotee who used to be a soldier on the battlefield in Iraq. His japa realization. He was on the battlefield and he was reporting, just checking in, slow day here, we shot some weapons. I just chanted japa on a hill with Krishna Balaram, my shilas. It was nice to see the sun coming up. For a minute, Krishna Balaram were floating, and I felt the holy name enter my heart and kick out the anarthas. For that split second, I felt like Srila Prabhupada was sitting next to me and helping me chant the holy name. Apa means away, Radha means Radharani. So Apa Radha means awake from Radha. Realizing this, my heart became sad that all these years I have run away from her mercy, from her loving affection. So sad. Then, instantly, that world closed with a weapon firing. I wish it never went away. Your servant, Prabhupada Saradidas. So we will also be chanting, and we will be in the mood that Krishna is going to be sitting next to us and listening to us chant. So we're going to be chanting. Everybody sit comfortably. Everybody be in a comfortable position. Have your japa beads in your hand. And then close your eyes. And I want you to think of your favorite deity or deities. How he's dressed, what garlands he's wearing. And imagine he's expanded from your heart to sit right in front of you. He's really there, looking at you with his gentle, sweet smile and moist, compassion-laden eyes. Krishna is observing your expression, hearing your vibration, perceiving your attitude, and feeling the pulse of your heart. Krishna is listening very attentively to your chanting, and he knows the movements of your mind. Chant very seriously and sincerely with full faith and feeling. Your only desire is to make Krishna happy by your chanting. Your goal is to please Krishna. So keep the meditation of Krishna in front of you and begin your japa. And keep him there while you're chanting. Thank you. nice meditation. Everybody come back to the room now, from wherever you were. But you can do this every day when you chant your japa. It's a very personal way to chant. Chant because he actually is listening to you chant, how you're chanting. So just imagine, every day he's listening. And how are you chanting for him? That's really important. Does anybody have anything at this point? Now we can share on this one if anybody had some realization from that exercise. Because this is not so personal. Yes? Yeah.
And in previous sessions also you told us some way to concentrate on those, like some pictures.
Right.
When I'm trying to do that, like, I'm not properly able to like, focus on this particular things. But when I'm trying to focus on these things, I'm able to hear the mantra of chant. But in general, when I try to hear, I'm not able to hear, like, my mind goes everywhere.
Your mind goes everywhere. But when you look at the form, then it helps.
Yeah, I'm not able to focus on the form. Then my mind is going towards hearing.
Okay. Yes?
I kind of thought that this was
familiar. Pardon me?
I thought that this was familiar and this was worth it.
It was?
I thought it was familiar and unworthy.
Oh, you were unworthy. Okay. Alright. Yes, we are. Yes?
Very difficult.
Very difficult. Okay, don't worry about it. For some people, like artists, it's probably easier who have a visual. Yes?
I was with the feeling that if I see the form of the Lord and I'm chanting, I can see him more than when I'm keeping my eyes.
Okay. Yeah, you can just open your eyes and look. It's easier. That's true. That's how I was doing. I was looking at my deities. And the point about simultaneously seeing and hearing, it's just like if, suppose I am talking to you, or you're talking to somebody in your work or something. Suppose you close your eyes and talk to them or listen to them. Is it, which is easier, if you close your eyes and don't look, or if you look at them while they're talking to you and you're talking to them? So that's what it's like, actually. That when we're chanting, we're talking to Krishna. We're speaking to him. So I find it easier to look at the person I'm talking to than to not. It's easier for me to simultaneously speak and talk and see. Speak and see. So it's like that. When you become more personal, when you have a more personal relationship with the deity, it's like when you chant that you're actually talking to them. So that's the understanding of what it's like. Because when we chant the holy name, we are praying to Krishna. We are speaking to him with the words of the Maha Mantra. So that is my understanding of how it is natural. But of course, in the beginning, it may be difficult. So you should just, it's easier if you chant and look at the deities like that face to face. It's like you're talking to somebody. I mean, just like a phone call, I guess it's more like a phone call because you don't see the person. But when somebody phones you up and you're talking to them on the phone, you do tend to visualize who you're talking to at the same time. Like if you hear a phone call, like suppose it's your friend and you visualize what your friend looks like while you hear the voice. And so when we chant the holy name, it's like that. We visualize who we're talking to at the same time that we're chanting. So at the beginning, you just focus on the sound if it's too difficult. But the time will come when both will be there. That all your senses, not only your eyes and your tongue and your ears, but all your senses will be engaged in seeing, feeling, smelling, and hearing and touching Krishna. All your senses. And that's called prema. That's a long way off. Okay, but first the first realization of chanting the holy name is non-different from Krishna. And the second realization is when you realize the form while you chant. The form, and after form comes qualities. You realize Krishna is merciful, he's this, he's that. And then comes the lila. When you chant, you will see the lila in front of your eyes. Yes. Anybody else have any realization from that last exercise that we did? Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. When you chant, you see the lila. Well, it won't be your imagination because you'll be there. When you meet, seeing the lila when you chant means that you're seeing the real Goloka, and you'll know that you've never seen anything like it before. I mean, we can imagine so many things, but when the real thing comes, then we'll realize, oh, I haven't seen anything like this in this world in my life. Then you'll know. Yes, we can imagine so many things. So until you get to that, first you have to see the form of the Lord when you chant. First, as soon as you say the word Krishna, then immediately you see Radha Krishna, Hare Krishna. That comes first. And then the qualities, and then the lila. So the lila, it will be like a TV. Srila Prabhupada says we have a TV in our heart. And that TV right now is broken. But the TV is for seeing all the lila that's going on in the spiritual world all the time, 24 hours a day. Now our TV is broken, our heart TV. So we have to get the TV repairman. There's three of them, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. They will repair the TV in our heart if we associate with them. And the day will come when our TV will be working and we will be seeing, while we chant Hare Krishna, we will be seeing the whole lila of Vrindavan. And then when you make more advancement in your chanting, you will be in the lila, not just watching it. When you realize the holy name can give you all the holy name can give you your form, can give you everything. So the day will come, and it may come maybe not in this life, maybe next life or in a few lives. But if you keep on chanting, the day will come. As Prabhupada said, do it in this life. Finish in this life. So we have to try our best. Not that we try to see the lila, but we try to hear the holy name very nicely. And if you hear very nicely, then the rest will come. And don't worry if the form just comes in your mind. You think, no, I should be hearing. Like one devotee in one japa retreat, he said, you know, I was just trying to hear the name, but the form kept coming. And I said, no, I have to hear. I shouldn't see this form. No. You must allow the form to come. If Krishna wants to come, you know, you should not stop him. Okay? Any other questions or realizations? Yes?
Just want to confirm, is it as a normal or I do practice this method from quite a while.
Which the method of seeing the form and chanting.
But when you really try to see Lord won't appear in front of you.
When you try to see the Lord won't appear in front of you.
He won't appear. Mm-hmm. And that makes me humble.
That makes you humble.
The point you become a bit attentive, automatically, you can see the form here.
Yes. When you become attentive in your hearing.
Yeah.
And the form will. And when he's pleased with your chanting, the mercy has to come. We endeavor our best to hear and serve and please the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is pleased, then he will bring you to that level of chanting.
So that happens within even one round.
It can happen.
For some time,
yes.
He appears clearly, you can see that.
It can happen any time. Krishna can show himself to anyone in any of your realms. So that's why we chant. We keep chanting, hoping that we will please him and he will appear. Yes?
Because you're talking about prayer before, which you wrote at the top of the word, because the japa is prayer.
Japa is prayer. It's the highest prayer. Right.
So, you know, talking about, we were both this sort of humble submission. We consider ourselves our faults, the obstacles for spiritual life. And for myself, and maybe some others can appreciate the same sort of things that when you've got a working life and you've got a spiritual life, you've got a family life, you're adjusting things materially, spiritually, it's very difficult to prioritize and balance things. And very quickly, your other things outweigh your devotional desires. And so maybe that's something that I was sort of looking at. That's an obstacle.
Yes.
And so when you have that sort of, more of a repentance and sincerity, sincerity,
right.
there was more power within that, with that chapel, within the prayer.
Yes.
And also that reminder that just by making the effort to come to whatever programs with devotees,
yes.
That automatically these things will just be simplified because
okay.
Krishna will clear it away.
Yeah, so you have a realization if you just make the endeavor to come, and you flew here from Canberra? Or? So she made a great endeavor to come. Some people are living here and they can't make it, but she flew all the way from Canberra to make it to these programs. So and you, she found that just by making this extra endeavor, then you do get the you get the result.
There's a lot of other endeavors I have to make too.
Yes, it doesn't stop here. You have to endeavor in your life. And this is the purpose of these seminars, is to give you some tools that you can use in your life. Some ways to relate to the deity, some ways to chant, some ways to reach the prophet's books, some appreciation of Srila Prabhupada. So that's the purpose. It's a practical application. Hopefully. Any other questions? Yes?
In the initial part of the chanting, it was quite intense, but slowly as the chanting continues, then the effects start fading off, and
yes.
Then it goes back to the easier mechanical chanting. How do you keep that intensity?
How do you keep the intensity? So at the beginning of the exercise, you felt it was very intense, and then it started to wear off and go back to normal. Practice. You practice, keep practicing it, and then it becomes easier. We have to practice. But there are so many, the mind is very intelligent, so we have to find different ways to catch it. Different ways to catch the mind. One thing may work one day, and then won't work the next day, so we have to keep trying different things. Any other questions? Yes? Oh yeah, okay, the exercise on asking a question to the deities and the deities answer the question. Yes? Yes, what would he tell you? Yes. So? So what is the question?
My question was like, I just asked like, I am not consistent in my sadhana.
Oh, not consistent.
Yeah, so I want to be consistent, so what can I mean?
How can you be consistent? So, did you understand what the deity would have said to you if he, you had got the answer?
Yeah, I got the answer, but I just want to confirm that. How you...
You got the answer. Okay, very good. Yeah, you don't have to share it.
I just wanted to confirm, how did you find out, whether it's him?
Okay, so how do you confirm? That's a very good question. You can ask the same question to some advanced devotees that you know, or some... You have to, so we have three, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So you can ask, you can open the book, ask the question, open the book, and see what answer you get. Ask the question to a devotee, Sadhu. And if you have a Guru, you can ask your Guru the same question. And if all three give the same answer, then you know. Because we do have, we have four actually, ways we can get answers. One is from Super Soul. Super Soul, the deity is the Super Soul manifest in front of us. So Super Soul may give you an answer. The deity may give you an answer. They're the same. And Guru is also external manifestation of Super Soul. So therefore, if the Guru confirms, if the sadhus confirm, if the book confirms, then that's your answer. Yeah, you can, that's the, how you confirm everything. Myself also, when I was wondering what my last service is going to be about teaching, then I confirmed with the devotees, with Srila Prabhupada, with the books, with my chanting. First I got it in the chanting. I said, oh, I was praying for service, what you're supposed to do when you chant. I didn't know what service I'll do, and then it came that I'm supposed to teach. Then I confirmed it. I went to Prabhupada, his room, and then I confirmed it with devotees, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, with the books. So then I knew, okay, this is my path, this is my next service that I should do. So yes, confirmation is called checks and balances. Sadhu, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and Super Soul, or deities. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, right. When Draupadi was in the assembly.
Krishna was not there actually.
Mm-hmm. Krishna was not there.
Just by the chanting the holy name, Draupadi got into the head was there.
Yeah, chanting the holy name and by giving full surrender.
Surrender. Then he also says, Nam Nam Kari Bhudani Kasarushe.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
So there are so many names and they have full potency. So that means the first realization you come to by chanting the holy name is that when you chant, Krishna comes. Krishna is there. And so one way to realize or experience that is when you're in danger and you chant the holy name and you see how Krishna comes. So myself, I've been in danger, and also in my dreams sometimes I have, like, people are killing me or something. I chant and finish, they're gone. No problem. So this is one way to understand how Krishna and his name are not different. In your own life, when you chant, then you can see. There are different ways. How he's your protector, how he's your guru. Like myself, I had to study Bhagavatam. So sometimes I would not know the answer to a question. I would have to teach Bhagavatam. So I would read the verse, and I would chant one round, and the answer would come. So this is the first realization, the second verse. The first realization, Krishna and his name are non-different. And it's very easy for us to do. No rules and regulations for chanting Hare Krishna. You can chant anytime, anywhere. What is the problem? I have no attraction. This is the problem. Inattentive chanting is of three types. That is indifference. You don't want to do it. You feel, I have something better to do. Let me do something else. Laziness. It's too much trouble. Better I sleep. Or distraction. Now distraction is probably the main one. That you start chanting and you're very, you're good, but then, your kid comes or somebody comes and starts talking to you and you're finished. Or your mind. Your mind is the worst distraction, of course. Your mind will come and it will say so many things. It will tell you many things. Oh, you lost something, now you better go find it. Where is that thing? I must stop my chanting and go find it right now. Or else, I'm very hungry. I think there must be some prasad somewhere. And now everybody's chanting, so it's a good time for me to get it. Yeah. Thoughts like these may come in your mind. Yeah. So, the first realization, the name of Krishna are non-different. They have all the power to reveal your spiritual identity and take you to the spiritual world. Any other questions? No comments? Okay, otherwise to Srila Prabhupada. We'll meet you tonight, 7 o'clock, for our last class on entering Vrindavan Dham. Bring your japa beads tonight, because we'll be doing some chanting again. Hare Krishna.